From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside, Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. An Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Kent DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
20 days, 6 hours, 23 minutes, and 52 seconds. That's your countdown to the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita, November 4th and 5th. Of course, we'll be there as your exclusive radio home here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But in the meantime, a couple of hours coming your way this morning on the Equine Forum, all presented by our friends at Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who is sitting in for the Pontiff of the Pick Four. He has the morning off, but Jude will be back with Ellis Starr this afternoon to bring you coverage of the QE2 Challenge Cup at Keeneland. But we are hosting this program this morning from Big Sandy, Belmont Park in Elmont, New York. A gorgeous morning under powder blue skies and the temperature in the mid-40s right now. Horses working out on this mile-and-a-half oval. Plenty of sunshine. Going to be a gorgeous day here in the New York area. And happy to have you with us this morning on the Equine Forum. And Big A, happy to be here, my friend. This is a road game for the Baron today.
Yeah, the pleasure's all yours, Baron. You're at Big Sandy. The best time of the year to be at Belmont Park, a beautiful Belmont Park, is the fall. The fall championship meet. Not the racing aside, weather-wise and time-wise, you could not pick a better time of year to be in New York in general, but specifically here at Belmont Park. You got the sun spilling in from the east. It's still getting up in the sky. Plenty of horses on the track training. Beautiful morning. It's in the low mid-40s, like you said, so I got my short sleeves on. My
Steeler hoodie.
Yeah, you're all bundled up like you're going into the frozen tundra of Lambeau.
I was freezing yesterday. It was, what, low 60s here yesterday, and I was freezing.
Yeah, well, you also don't like the potato croquettes at King Umberto, so
awful.
That says a lot about you.
Overrated. The veal parm was very good.
You're lucky I don't ask you to leave my studio.
I deviated and went with the potato croquettes last night instead of the pasta that I usually get with veal parm.
I'm 4.5%.
Big mistake. Nothing good comes of deviation.
I'm 4.5% King Umberto's potato croquette. So, I don't know what could be so bad. The bottom right end.
What's the other 95.5%?
Mozzarella, Jack Daniels, and a little DD coffee and a lot of Diet Pepsi. But mostly mozzarella.
Well, the reason that I am here with you this morning and that Jude has the morning off, and by the way, we're going to hear from the Pontiff toward the end of the program today as we go down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. At around 9:45 Eastern time, he'll be with us to handicap some of the big races. So not totally out of the mix today. But I flew here yesterday with my wife. We came up for a surprise birthday party, a 50th party, for one Mr. Larry Colmus, who people know as the announcer here at Belmont Park and in the New York Racing Association racetracks and, of course, with NBC. And that was held at King Umberto's last night. Had a great time. Larry was completely surprised. He had no knowledge that any of this was taking place, which is huge because this was being planned since back in Saratoga.
Well, they hit him with a double decoy. They took him to another fantastic restaurant. If you're in earshot of Belmont Park, Orchid, in Garden City, Big A guarantee, best Chinese food you will ever eat. So they take him to Orchid Thursday night, little decoy. Yesterday afternoon, his brother, sister, his family show up in the press box. I was talking to Larry, just happened to be there talking to him. We were seeing Jenny Kellner off, who worked at NIRA for many years. She retired yesterday. Family comes over and completely surprises him. And I think he thought he was done. And then you guys sprung the trap on him last night over at King Umberto's.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good time. Like I say, I don't think he expected it at all. And our best to Larry Colmus for the next 50 years, who knows? And, you know, people know when they listen to this program, I've told the story many times, that Larry was the first track announcer I ever met when I was a kid growing up in Western Massachusetts.
Wow.
Wrote a letter to Larry one day. I wanted to be a track announcer. And I said, Larry, any advice that you have for somebody who wants to get into the business? And he wrote back to me, and I believe the letter was in red ink, and I probably still have it somewhere. And he said, why don't you come on over to Suffolk Downs for the day, which is where Larry was calling at the time. Spend the day with me. I'll let you see what it's all about. And I did. And I can remember going down with my parents, sitting up in the announcer's booth and watching Larry read the scratches. And I thought I'll never forget. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Wow.
I'm watching Larry
I didn't know this story.
Yeah. So, and then he and I didn't talk for several years afterwards. It's not like we stayed in touch every week. And then when I moved to Kentucky, got into the horse business, our paths crossed again through the radio side of things, and we've become very good friends ever since.
When I was a kid, the only person I ever wanted to be was Tom Durkin. I've told the story a lot this week. And part of the reason I'm sitting here is a mix of Tom Durkin, Pat Day, Jenny Kellner, and my parents, because I always read Jenny when I was a kid, because that's what every 10 and 11-year-old does. He reads the New York Post to read the horse racing pages. He emulates Tom Durkin because he spends his nights hot walking his dad's horses after $5,000 nickel claimers at the Meadowlands, and hears Tom Durkin do the calls. And, you know, he was the biggest easy goer fan in the world. So the combination of all that on Breeders' Cup Classic Day 1989 really made me want to do something where I had a format. And
I remember the first time I formally met Tom Durkin right here at Belmont Park, just a short distance from where we're sitting right now. And I happened to tell him that as I was growing up wanting to be a track announcer, that I looked up to him, and he was my track announcer idol, right? And he looked at me. I'll never forget. He looked at me and he said, well, Michael, I suggest you set your bar a bit higher.
1990. I met Durkin for the first time in 88 or 89, and then 1990, I spent a couple of races with him. My dad was running a horse named First Knighting at the Meadowlands, and Tom had just signed on for the job here at NYRA. And he was calling Bob Weems, who was the longtime track announcer at Monmouth Park, took sick, and Tom filled in for the day, and I just happened to, it was the only day of the year I was at Monmouth Park that year, and Tom happened to be there, and I went upstairs and I hung out in the press box and went back and forth to Tom's booth two or three different times, and that pretty much cemented it for me.
A lot of memories here at Belmont Park, including the time when we sat right here and broadcast the Triple Crown a couple of years ago with American Pharoah. It's a great place to come home to. I'm happy to be here this morning with you, Big A, and happy to be with HRN Nation once again on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. And speaking of Woodbine Entertainment, big one up north of the border today with the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International. And we're going to be joined after our first commercial break in just about 5 minutes with Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. Looking forward to that visit. He'll tell us a little bit more about what you can expect on Canadian International Day, and he'll tell you about Woodbine and all the great things that they have happening up there at that racetrack, which is just spectacular.
Yeah, big day there tomorrow. I threw my back out a little bit on Tuesday night. It's getting a little better. If it didn't, I didn't realize this until last night when I was doing the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview with the Pontiff. They have a Melbourne Cup winner in that Pattison Canadian International tomorrow. I'm borderline obsessed with the Melbourne Cup.
I so want to go to Australia. I would love to go to the Melbourne Cup. I don't like
we got
long plane
Barbados
rides. You know, I was punchy flying up here from Lexington. I don't like long plane rides, but I would do it to go to Australia.
Well, I was on a maneuver in 2001 to go. Bill Mott was thinking about running Hap, who was really a trainer. He was going to run him in the Cox Plate, which is a mile and a quarter race in Australia about 3 weeks before the Melbourne Cup. And we were angling to get me over there as a bit of a liaison to go. And I was working for the Post at the time, and of course, Rupert Murdoch, Australian. I had every maneuver. The Big A's full of maneuvers, and I had every maneuver planned, and then, of course, we get hit with the senseless attacks of 9/11, and Hap doesn't go, and nobody goes anywhere for a while. So, but, yeah, that's definitely – I've never taken a plane ride, But the Big A does things big, man. So if we're going to take a plane ride, we might as well take it to Australia. Let's go.
Yeah, you might as well do it that way. So Jim Lawson coming up here after the break. Then we're going to be joined right around 8:35 Eastern by Gary Falter, who is with OwnerView. That OwnerView conference coming up at Santa Anita, October 31st. You will not want to miss it. He'll fill you in on all the details right around 8:35 Eastern. 9 o'clock Eastern time is trainer Jimmy Toner, who has won the QE2 at Keeneland more than any other trainer. And he sends out Time and Motion in this afternoon's race. So Jimmy will tell us about that horse and look back on some of his other memories right around 9 o'clock. And then 9:23, we're going to talk about the Futurity, which is here at Belmont this afternoon. You'll hear from Jeremiah Englehart, the trainer of Moves Like Ali. And you'll hear from Tom Bellhouse of West Point Thoroughbreds talking about their entrant, The Walk. And as I mentioned, Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four, with us at the end of the program to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup. Busy program. It kicks off next right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Only on HRRN.
Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside. Three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch. Ginger Punch to win it. Ginger Punch won it.
9 millionaires, including 5 multimillionaires.
Game on, Dude. Going to write his way into the history books. Game on, Dude. And Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap.
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Go, Shepard, kicking clear, and Go, Shepard is pulling away impressively.
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Hey, this is Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They turn in the Northern Dancer and world approval in front. The Pizza Man within earshot. On the outside, Danish Dynaformer. Here's Wake Forest. Wake Forest exploding. And down the outside, Majid. World approval in front. World approval, the Pizza Man. Wake Forest, Majid and Danish Dynaformer. Wake Forest is coming with the Pizza Man at world approval. The Pizza Man, Wake Forest and world approval. first, World Approval third, and then Majid.
And taking the Northern Dancer turf, that was the race he will use as a prep for this afternoon's Grade 1 Canadian International. It's a field of nine, and what a stellar field. And I should say tomorrow afternoon's Canadian International, that one coming up tomorrow, live from Woodbine Racetrack, the best horses from around the globe competing for a purse of $1 million on that world-renowned E.P. Taylor turf course. Woodbine offering large guarantees of $150,000 on early pick fours, and the $250,000 late pick four is something you won't want to miss. Plus, you can play 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools tomorrow afternoon. And why not give the jackpot high five a go? You can take your shot at a wager offering huge potential for big pool payouts and a mandatory payout following the last race of the day tomorrow. Watch and wager on that Pattison Canadian International tomorrow, October 16th, post time 1 p.m. For more information, visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. Going to be a good one.
Cannot believe the great field, especially in the Pattison. The prep for the, I don't want to say it's the prep because it's a grade one, but the Northern Dancer is such a key race more often than not coming into the Pattison. You get the 1, 2, 3, 5 finishers coming out of that race. The Pizza Man, Wake Forest, World Approval, of course, 1, 2, 3. Danish Dyna, former, the quote-unquote local hope, if you will. Back again, he was fifth in the Northern Dancer. And then you get a fantastic invasion of Euros in here. Idaho has been much heralded overseas. You have Dartmouth coming in for Her Majesty the Queen. Jude Feld yesterday on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview said his favorite woman in the world is the Queen. Which I don't know if Gretchen is going to be too happy about that. And then, Mike, you know I'm obsessed with the fact that there is a Melbourne Cup winner. If my back wasn't bad, I'd get in a car and go.
We're going to effort Jim Lawson, who is the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment. We actually had the wrong phone number for Jim, so we apologize. We'll go ahead and get him on the line here momentarily. We are Skyping our man Sticky back in the Lexington studio with the correct phone number, and we'll have Jim joining us here on HRRN. But the Canadian International, just one of the major races playing into the Breeders' Cup picture on this weekend. Of course, you have the QE2 Challenge Cup, which you're going to hear this afternoon at 5 o'clock Eastern time. You can stream that coverage, horseracingradio.net, with Jude Feld and Ella Starr. That race playing into the Breeders' Cup picture, no doubt. And we often say, okay, last weekend was Fall Stars weekend. It was a big weekend here at Belmont. The Breeders' Cup preps are over. The win in your ins may be finished,
right,
but we are not done with races that can have an impact on the Breeders' Cup.
Centurio Italia was the beaten favorite in this race last year of QE2 Cup. She finished behind Her Eminency and Miss Temple City. I think Miss Temple City should have went up last year, in fact. But Kier McLaughlin, who trained Centurio Italia, used that race as a springboard just 3 weeks later to run her against older fillies and mares in the Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf. And she got beat like 3.5 lengths, I think, behind Stephanie Skinton. So
Yeah. Can't
be that. But I'll tell you this, Mike. You look at that QE2 Challenge Cup today. Number one, grade one doesn't do it any justice. If you could put a bigger grade on a race, you would certainly do it with that. And while there's not a Breeders' Cup race for straight three-year-old fillies, you would think if there was one, that's exactly what it would look like, because there is not a horse in the division that's not in there today, that you'd want in there, I should say, that's not in that race today.
Well, as we wait on Jim Lawson here from Woodbine Entertainment, we will go ahead and remind you that if you're planning to be at Santa Anita for this year's Breeders' Cup, well, you better be sure to enhance your race day experience with one of our HRRN live sports radios. Now, you may be saying, what on earth is that? Well, if you've ever been to a major golf tournament or even a major college football game, then you know that you can get one of those radios that hook into your ear, and you can listen to coverage of the golf tournament or the football game or whatever the event is anywhere that you may be on site. Well, we're going to do the same thing at Breeders' Cup, and all you have to do is look for one of our black and gold kiosks when you get to the racetrack, and you can pick up that free live sports radio. Of course, that allows you to hear our HRN team wherever you may be. Well, on-site at Santa Anita for racing championship days, you'll hear interviews, analysis, and selections all through the HRN Live Sports Radio. Be sure to stop by and pick one up when you attend the races at the Great race place. Well, Jim Lawson is the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, and he is with us now here on the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN. Jim, welcome to the program, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Mike. And Anthony, good to talk to both of you this morning.
Yeah, happy to have you on board with us. And what a weekend coming up at Woodbine. Of course, tomorrow, the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International. You have a stellar field of nine set to go to the post. And really, this truly has become an international event and an event that is going to have a direct impact on the Breeders' Cup, Jim.
Yeah, we're obviously excited about it. We've got big fields in, throughout the day, and we've got nine for the international, including four Europeans, and, of course, a great field. We've got a field of 13 for the UP Taylor, headed by best in the world. So it's going to be a fun day, and we're excited to, once again, we had a chance to showcase Woodbine to the world with Depp in there last month for the mile, and now our racing group has done a great job, particularly, of course, with bringing in some great European horses.
Well, I can tell you, Jim, we had the opportunity to visit Woodbine for the first time earlier this year when we broadcast the Queen's Plate here on the network, and it was one of the greatest experiences that we've ever had at any racetrack, and we've been doing this a long time. Woodbine really did roll out the red carpet, and the facility itself is spectacular, and if people are planning on looking for a place to run their horses, and if you're a horseman and you're thinking about finding a new place to run, we would highly recommend Woodbine. Then you throw in the E.P. Taylor Turf Course. There's a lot to offer at Woodbine.
Well, thanks for mentioning that, Mike. I'd like to think that we roll out the red carpet all the time for everyone, and in particular on Queen's Plate Day that day. We had 37,000 people there, and once again, our team did a great job with live entertainment and just the hats and horseshoes party and everything that goes on, and from a fan and entertainment standpoint, I think we do as good a job as anyone, as you say. And then on the horse racing standpoint, we run a first class organization, so I certainly appreciate the shout out for us in that regard.
Jim, you see guys like Roger Atfield and Mark Cassie running horses today, tomorrow, namely in the Pattison. But then you see guys like Roger Bruggerman, who's coming back with the Pizza Man, Chad Brown, of course, down here in the States, one of the leading trainers, perennially going to be up for the Eclipse Award for many, many years to come. You got to be happy that they continually support that program up there by running in the races like the Northern Dancer and back again for the Pattison.
Yeah, well, again, very excited. We certainly work hard to attract those trainers. They obviously attracted some pretty great horses and continue to. Chad's pretty loyal. Graham Motion's loyal. Of course, you mentioned Mark, and you know Mark's had a full stable at Woodbine for years, certainly goes out of his way to help us out whenever he can and make races fill. So we owe a lot to Mark and his loyalty to Woodbine. And of course, Roger's just a Hall of Fame guy. He gets the most out of his horses. Of course, he has Danish Dynaformer in the International Memorial. He's got a tall order in that race, but you never know. Mile and a half on that turf course, it's a tough one. So. With a strong field, so it's exciting.
Jim, as the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment,
go ahead, guys. Sorry.
No, as the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, you're the one that's in charge of guiding the ship, so to speak. Talk about the philosophy and the overall approach that you've taken with Woodbine Entertainment to be so successful, and then maybe look ahead to the future and what the vision might be.
Sure. The philosophy really. And you guys have been around this business for a long time. I really feel that the philosophy that we've brought to the fore here at Woodbine in the last year and a half is to try some different things, from a fan experience, to the extent we can, from a horse racing experience, look at different conditions. As you know, we introduced the clockwise racing this year. We've put in a new Tapeta surface. We've looked at many different wagering. We've hired we have an innovation department. We have a guest experience department. We're doing anything and everything we can to put change and attract a new fan in so many different ways. New demographic of fans, and that ties into the entertainment that a number of racetracks are doing. But we also, I think, appreciate that from a horse racing standpoint, we have to look at racing differently. We have to look at wagering different, potentially look at distribution of purses differently. And all to say that I think it's a business that to keep up with the changing environment, and I'll call it the changing environment, particularly in the internet, and as a result of the wagering and the lotteries that are out there, we have to compete in the sports, entertainment, and wagering world. And the philosophy that we've brought to the fore is change and thinking differently about how we do things. And I think we've had a lot of successes in doing that. And as for the future, we're going to continue to look at how we can improve that guest experience, how we can improve the experience for our owners, and just have a whole different approach, if we can, to the ways that we carry on business. We're looking at night racing for next year, which is something, you know, Woodbine's been in that location for 60 years. And although we do run on Wednesday night, we've got tremendous facilities and tremendous food and beverage and dining, as you guys have experienced. And we've got to be able to expose that young demographic to our sport, not only for the short term, but for the long term. This industry, we feel it, and I think other racetracks feel it in North America. Horse supply and new ownership and investment is a key, and we have to find ways to introduce that younger generation to racing. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that happens. And in large part, that's as a result of getting our management team to think differently as to how we approach things each day.
Jim, you guys, the first terms that come to mind are open-minded and innovative up there. Just 3 weeks out from the Breeders' Cup, sometimes this day doesn't have the impact maybe one would like it to have on the Breeders' Cup. Have you guys thought about maybe pushing it back a week and making it 4 weeks out so some of these trainers have more of an option to come back and it's more conducive to running the Cup?
Yeah, I'm smiling here because absolutely. We sit down and have this discussion every year. And again, it comes to just my earlier comment about being flexible. I think that some years when horses, you know, may be more likely if the Breeders' Cup, you know, next year it's in Del Mar, but if the race is in New York or if the race is in Kentucky, we would be, you know, well advised, I think, to set it up. Horses are likely. We do a very good job, as you've seen evidence tomorrow, of bringing in European horses. So I think that's something we will definitely do. I think we need to be flexible even year to year on how we schedule our races. And that's just a case of, again, of being able to think differently and look at even moving a stakes to a Friday night and doing innovative things to change things around. But that's a great example. We moved the mile to Saturdays, and we've looked at the impact of the National Football League on racing on Sundays. We've looked at analyzed in great detail our mutual betting when we're going head to head with the New York tracks, with the Florida tracks, with the California tracks, and we've really discovered that we do better when we are going head to head. And so it's we're just having a much more sophisticated approach, and if you combine that with change, we will look at doing things like changing tomorrow to a day that lines up better with the Breeders' Cup, of course. And this is something that we need to do to compete and bring over these great horses that we continue to be able to do.
Visiting with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, I want to go back to something you talked about a short time ago, and you used the term entertainment a couple of times. You have a longstanding involvement with the Canadian Football League, the CFL. Is there a parallel that can be drawn between attracting new fans to the CFL and attracting new fans to horse racing? Are there some similarities there?
Great question. I could I could go on, of course, for a long time explaining just how much the similarity is. Of course, there is. We're dealing with, and thank you for asking, we're dealing with an aging demographic in both sports. The Canadian Football League is working very hard. I find in sports the National Football League, the NFL, is a bit of an anomaly in the sense that they've just turned themselves into a marketing powerhouse for any number of reasons, fantasy football, etc., and it's become a part of people's lives. But I think other sports, professional golf, professional tennis, and I think you could extend that. I think the NBA's done a great job of late, but in particular, it's the ways that that the younger demographic wants to be entertained, wants to consume that product. They don't have the attention span for 25 minutes between racing. They don't have the attention span sometimes that it needs to watch golf all day. And the way they consume it and stream sports and stream entertainment, we need to look at that as in the sporting world and the impact that all this is having on what, for many of us, and not as much Woodbine, of course, is the television broadcasting and what that revenue, if that goes away in a substantial way as a result of other mediums of broadcasting and consumption by that next generation, how we deal with that. And so it's a challenge. It's a challenge for many sports, including something we look at constantly in the Canadian Football League and in horse racing too. It's how we deal with it. The big difference, I think, guys, is that the term in sports is bums in seats, and there's no question that, you know, the CFL, which I chair, is a gate-driven league in a number of ways. We have a decent, a good broadcasting contract with our partner, which is Bell. But in horse racing, there's less and less bums in seats. We run 133 days of thoroughbred at Woodbine, and I'd like to, if you're making a football analogy, I'd like to say we run 133 home games, and actually we run 220 days of harness racing, so we run 330 home games. And accordingly, it brings out a whole new set of challenges when you're running 133 days a year and gearing up every day your food and beverage and your hospitality people, as opposed to 10 home games. And so, the sport has evolved where we are earning most of our revenue through the internet, internet wagering, and accordingly, and through our simulcast, which is of course also over the internet, but it's even on our live racing product, it's primarily through the internet. So that changes the dynamic in terms of how you spend your money, guest experience and marketing, and whether it's into the United States or for that live experience. And it's got a challenge there that is certainly a distinction from a live sport like football, which does attract bums in seats once a week. But when we have 133 days of thoroughbred racing, you have to look at it, and that's one of the big challenges we have in racing. Of course, is do you limit that marketing dollar to your big events, the Belmont Stakes? I know Naira, I believe, they've done a tremendous job in building that Belmont weekend. They've now used it, and they've focused on two or three other weekends a year. And we, we're focusing on this weekend, the Mile, the Queen's Plate, of course. So it is a different environment. You kind of have to pick those moments when you're going to spend your marketing dollar. And we all live to budgets and how to market the sport. And you market for events. It's harder to market when there's 133 home games.
Yeah, a lot more to it than many people think, and Jim spelling that out beautifully for you here this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jim, Woodbine Entertainment, progressive, moving forward, I would say forward-thinking on a lot of levels, and again, we had such a great time up there. We can't thank you enough for all your hospitality, your entire team, Alex Fanti, and the entire crew doing a great job. Keep it rolling, and we appreciate the time here this morning. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Listen, guys, thrilled to thrilled to be part of your show this morning. Love telling the Woodbine story. I know you guys did the live remote broadcast that day, and we'd love to have you back. And let's keep racing going. It's a great sport, and we hope we're doing our part in attracting that new fan, as you've heard this morning. And thank you for having me on.
Well said, Jim Lawson, CEO of Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the official apparel of the horse racing lifestyle and of horse racing. You can visit EmbraceTheRace.com to embrace your passion and learn more. Appreciate it, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, Jim Lawson here on HRRN. Gary Falter is still to come. He is going to tell you all about the Owner View Conference, which comes your way at Santa Anita beginning October 31st. He'll join us next, right after our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday morning at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
When experts gather to discuss the greatest American racehorse of all time, the list includes three that invariably rise to the top of the conversation: Man of War, Citation, and Secretariat. The relative merits of these three superstars may well be undeterminable in actual fact, but Citation's three-year-old campaign was perhaps the singularly greatest individual year ever enjoyed by a racing thoroughbred. Citation's two-year-old record was 8 wins in 9 starts, the only blemish on an otherwise perfect slate. A defeat at the hands of his Calumet stable may bewitch when that outstanding filly defeated him in the Washington Park Futurity. Citation was named the two-year-old of the year and ranked alongside Bewitch at the top of the experimental free handicap. At the end of his three-year-old campaign, Citation's weight evaluation was 15 pounds greater than that of his nearest rival. Most three-year-olds campaigning exclusively against their own age group until the second half of the year. Not so Citation. He opened his sophomore season on the track with 2 wins against older horses. He followed that success with 2 wins against his peers before suffering a defeat in a 6-furlong prep race at Havre de Grace in Maryland. That race was to Saggy, sire of the 1968 Kentucky Derby winner, Carry Back. After that, Citation racked up 15 consecutive victories. Included in that skein were an easy sweep of the Triple Crown races, so easy that it was almost anticlimactic. In the 1948 Derby, Citation was such a prohibitive favorite that Colonel Matt Wynn eliminated place in show wagering in that event. Citation won the Derby by 3.5, the Preakness by 5.5, and the Belmont by 8 open lengths. After totally demolishing and completely demoralizing all the three-year-olds, he went on to become against older horses and won the Stars and Stripes at Washington Park in track record time. Later in the fall, he proved his stamina by sailing home to a 7-length win in the Jockey Club Gold Cup over a distance of 2 miles at Belmont Park. By the end of October, there was not a single horse willing to challenge him in the winner-take-all Pimlico Invitational. That outing turned out to be nothing more than an exhibition for public benefit, a walkover in racing parlance. By the end of 1948, Citation had won 19 of 21 races at 9 different tracks at distances from 6 furlongs to 2 miles. He had been ridden by 3 different jockeys and had won or on tracks listed as fast, good, muddy, heavy, and sloppy. He was not only three-year-old colt of the year, but also horse of the year, and on top of that, handicap horse of the year. Unfortunately, the rest of Citation's story is dotted with cases of injury and frustration. He was off the racetrack for an entire year because of various ailments. He came back to race at the age of 5 when he won an allowance race in January at Santa Anita. In his next 8 starts, he finished 2nd 7 times with only 1 win. Incredibly, in 6 straight races, he was defeated in track record time. 5 of those losses were in world record time. Plus, he was invariably giving way to the opposition, which makes that record doubly significant. Citation was nearly $100,000 short of becoming race's very first millionaire at the age of 6, so after a 10-month layoff, he did come back. He began that campaign slowly, but finally scored in the Argonaut Handicap and then chalked up a 2nd tough win in the American Handicap. Then on July 14, 1951, in his last race, he nailed down the $100,000 first prize in the Hollywood Gold Cup to attain the coveted $1 million earnings mark his owners had doggedly pursued for 3 years. and 45 career starts. Citation had 32 wins and was in the money 44 times. But that three-year-old campaign goes unmatched to this very day. Neither Man O' War nor Secretariat campaigned at the age of Citation's later efforts, so we will never know. But Citation was indeed one of the very best horses that I personally have ever seen.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Frosted has won with ease in the Whitney.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Pretty City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016, more than $5 million clear on the general sire list. Tappet added to his lofty totals with two new Grade 1 winners in the spinaway at Saratoga as his daughters, Sweet Loretta and Pretty City Dancer, dead-heated for the Grade 1 victory. And Tappet's son, Tapazar, now has a first crop stakes winner as Tip Tap Tapazar closed impressively to take Monmouth's Sapling Stakes. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar retired sound and is represented by eight individual first crop two-year-old winners to date. Tappet and Tapazar standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Penna, Anthony Stabile, that's the Big A and the Baron, with you here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coming to you live from Belmont Park in Elmont, New York this morning. Don't forget the Breeders' Cup World Championships edging ever closer and some races impacting the Breeders' Cup on the docket for this weekend, including the QE2 at Keeneland this afternoon and the Pattison Canadian International at Woodbine tomorrow. You're going to hear our exclusive coverage of the QE2 this afternoon beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern with Jude Feld and Ellis Starr live from Keeneland. 5 o'clock Eastern, you can stream it worldwide at horseracingradio.com. HorseRacingRadioNetwork.net. Gary Falter is with OwnerView, and for the past several years since OwnerView was created, I have had the distinct privilege of sitting in as one of the moderators of the OwnerView panels at their conferences. It has been an absolute delight. Unfortunately, because this year's conference takes place during Breeders' Cup Week at Santa Anita, I will not be able to fill that role, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be there for the OwnerView conference. It begins October 31st. It will be held at Santa Anita. It ties into the Breeders' Cup. It's going to be an amazing event, and Gary Falter is here to tell us all about it now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Gary, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, Mike. Glad to be here. How are you?
Doing very, very well, and disappointed that I can't be part of that conference this year because I have thoroughly enjoyed every single one that I've done, and each one seems to get better and better and better.
Well, and that's our goal, is to try to improve off the things we've learned from the past conferences, and you've done a great job, and we appreciate your being a part of it, and we'll see you there. We're going to be there together that same week, and we're pretty excited about the conference this year.
Yeah, well, count me in for the next one. Tell me what people can expect from the conference beginning on October 31st.
Well, we've aligned the conference with some of the activities of the Breeders' Cup because it's taking place Breeders' Cup week, and our appreciation to the folks at the Breeders' Cup for agreeing to do that. So on Monday, we'll start our first panel Monday afternoon. That'll be about 2:30 in the afternoon. We've got some great panelists talking about business considerations for racehorse ownership. And as soon as that panel and the Q&A is over, our guest will go right over to the Breeders' Cup Classic draw in the chandelier room along with the reception that evening. So that's one of the activities we've incorporated into the conference. And then Tuesday, we kick off with the trackside breakfast marquee for all of our guests to be able to have a nice breakfast and enjoy meeting some of the connections of the Breeders' Cup horses and to watch those same horses out on the track prepare for the Breeders' Cup. So Tuesday is a very full day. We've got a lot of panels, a lot of great panels, great speakers, excellent moderators, as you know. We've got a real fun panel planned on later in the afternoon on Tuesday, talking about racehorses in Hollywood. And we were fortunate enough to get Nick Clooney to MC that piece. And we're going to show clips from Secretariat and Seabiscuit and 50 to 1 and Dreamer. And just recently we got confirmation from the connections with Penny Chenery that she will be in attendance talking about her experiences with that movie and obviously Secretariat. And then also Laura Hillenbrand will be there on the stage with Nick talking about Seabiscuit because, as you know, she was the author of Seabiscuit.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you firsthand, Gary, that people have come up to me, and they still do it when they see me at racetracks, and they'll ask about the OwnerView conference, and they'll tell me, especially the ones that have attended it, and they'll say, you know, there were things, I thought I knew everything, and I thought I had a pretty good grasp on what this sport was all about, but when they sit there and they listen to the diverse group of panelists that you offer both of those days, they learn things, and I learn things, quite frankly, when I'm moderating them, that you don't know. I mean, there's so much to this business that comes up, and you cover so many aspects of it with the conference. It's beneficial to not just people that are looking to get into the sport, but even people that are already in the game can learn something about it.
Yeah, absolutely. When we started with this idea a few years ago, we weren't sure how to structure the business sessions. Is this something strictly for new owners or people considering ownership or people who are already in the game? And we decided way back when that we wanted something for everyone. That we wanted information offered in these panels and by these experts that anybody at any level of ownership would benefit from. And what we have found for the first two conferences is about 60% of the attendees were already longtime owners and about 40% were either new at the game or were considering ownership. And that percentage is holding fairly close to being true at Santa Anita. I had one lady come up to me at the Gulfstream conference, and she said, I've been in this game for years. And after that first panel, she said, I wrote so many notes, I'm going to go back and talk to my accountant and attorney and talk more to my trainer about some things that I just learned today. So, and it's all about just having as much transparency as we can for owners, as much information as we can provide to owners, because, you know, the best owner in our business is that owner that's educated and well-informed.
Gary, the Tuesday jockey panel, talking about having something for everyone and covering covering all the bases, I mean, the star power there and just being able to span so many years. You've done a great job with all the panels, but this jock panel is the one that really sticks out and should be an absolute blast.
Yeah, it's a who's who of just great jockeys with Richard Migliori moderating the panel and Chris McCarron, Gary Stevens, Lafitte Pincai Jr., Mike Smith, Victor Espinoza. I mean, not all. I mean, I think Chris and Lafitte are the only two retired guys. Gary and Mike and Victor are still riding and probably have some great mounts in the Breeders' Cup. So I was excited when we were able to line these guys up. I want all their autographs. I mean, that's how kind of a panel it is. So, yeah, that panel, I love the Breeders' Cup winning owners panels with Barbara Banky and Billy Koch. Dean Reeves, you know, he won the Breeders' Cup with Mucho Macho Man, John Ammerman, Ken Kanakin. You guys might remember Ken Kanakin's horse, Dancing with Silks, Dancing in Silks.
Sure.
Won that four-way photo finish in the sprint a number of years back on a horse he paid $20,000+ for. I mean, just a great story that he can tell and that all these owners would tell.
Talking with Gary Falter from OwnerView here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The OwnerView Conference coming up October 31st at Santa Anita. You still have time to get your ticket and attend the conference, and we recommend that you go to OwnerView.com to check out the listing of all of the different panels and the panelists who are going to be part of those events. Make sure you check it out at OwnerView.com and register today. Don't delay. It's all there, OwnerView.com. The last couple of years, when I've been a part of this event, the one thing that stood out to me is the star power that you've been able to acquire with your keynote speakers. And a couple of years ago at Keeneland, Gary Player, the Hall of Fame golfer, came into town and gave an unbelievable keynote address. And then Jim Rome last year was absolutely spectacular at Gulfstream Park. And I should say earlier this year, because it was in January of this year, he was tremendous. And then this year you bring in Eddie Olczyk, the, of course, outstanding hockey player and NBC analyst. So tell me a little bit about Eddie and getting him on board for this event.
Well, Eddie's a great guy. I've had a lot of conversations with him. He's excited about being the keynote speaker. Loves horse racing, loves every aspect of it. He's an owner. He's a broadcaster, as you said. He's a handicapper. He does well at handicapping. Very dynamic personality. I mean, he's got a busy week ahead of him, as I know you do. He's involved with the broadcast, so he'll be flying in on Tuesday, you know, giving our keynote address on Wednesday, and we're pretty excited about having Eddie as part of this because what we've done the last couple of years is we've tried to find someone, obviously with celebrity status and as a known name, but also has that great passion for horse racing, the love of horses and just ownership and the sport in general. And Gary Player just knocked it out of the park, as you say. I still watch that video every now and then. Jim Rome just so captivated the audience last year with his stories and his experiences with Shared Belief and Misdirection and what him and his wife and his family have gone through, the highs and the lows. I mean, it was just captivating. And we've got that video out on YouTube. I think it's had over 6,000 views. And Eddie will do a great job. We're excited about that. And, you know, it's just one of the things we want to try to do every year is bring in a keynote speaker that is really passionate about our sport and about what we're trying to do here.
Well, Gary, I mentioned the website, ownerview.com. Is that the best way for people to go ahead and register and to make sure that they're in attendance at that conference?
Yes, yeah, because there's links on our website to the owner conference. We have a digital flip book there that you can flip through and just look at some of the key aspects of the conference and then jump over and look at the full schedule. I want to point out to keep in mind that anybody that registers for the conference, that also includes tickets for both Friday and Saturday for the Breeders' Cup Championships. We have a section that's reserved for the attendees of the conference, and so everybody who attends the conference will have the reserved seating in the grandstand for the Breeders' Cup races on Friday and Saturday.
No, you can't beat it. It's a great deal, and I highly recommend it. Go to ownerview.com to learn more about this year's conference and to register and make sure you're in attendance, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there. Gary, really appreciate the time and look forward to seeing you at Santa Anita here in a few weeks, and all the best moving forward, my friend.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Really appreciate all your support and looking forward to seeing you guys out at Santa Anita.
All right, Gary Falter from OwnerView here on HRRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the official apparel of the horse racing lifestyle and of horse racing. Visit EmbraceTheRace.com to embrace your passion. It's going to be a great event.
It looks like it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some
star power
there,
everywhere.
Wow. That jocks panel is second to none. Spans 45, 50 years in the saddle.
Yeah, and I mean that. You will learn something. Even if you're in the business, you're going to learn something new. Every time I host one of the panels, I'm learning new things. And we can all afford to learn a little bit more about this business and about running our businesses and operations and being involved in the game.
Yeah, there's, we were talking about this yesterday at the end of ExpressBet Radio. There's a lot more money in this game now than there was 30 years, we'll use a nice round number, 30 years ago. And plenty of money for everybody to make some money and get this sport forward into the next few decades.
We're going to get you set for a busy second half of the program. When we come back, this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusie Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Maryland Breds are your formula for success. Be part of a breeding program in a state which offers competitive purses, 30% breeder bonuses, 30% owner bonuses, and year-round racing backed by state legislators creating pro breeding and racing legislation, all supported by a working cooperative between the racetracks, horsemen, and breeders. It's time to own a Maryland Bred. Better stallions, better mares. Maryland Breds. Learn more at MarylandThoroughbred.com.
Claiborne Farm presents Blame. A three-time Grade 1 winner with earnings over $4.3 million. Blame's historic victory over Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup Classic solidified his Eclipse Award as champion older male. At stud, Blame was the leading second crop sales sire with yearlings bringing up to $600,000 and the leading second crop sire with eight graded stakes horses, including 2015 winners March, Onus, and Far From Over. Blame at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come to the top of the stretch, Florent Giroux lets this filly roll down. Time and Motion trying to stick with her, and it's a long way back to Diamond Fields and Elysia's World. Catch and Lynn's trying to get another furlong and stay undefeated. Time and Motion's going to make her work very hard for it here. Time and Motion's got her. Time and Motion has upset Catch and Lynn's in the Lake Placid. And then it was Diamond Fields and Alesia's World in a final time of 1 minute 48.39 seconds. So Catch a Glimpse is defeated on turf for the first time by a very fine filly indeed named Time in Motion.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Lake Placid Stakes at Saratoga back on August 21st. Time in Motion getting the better of Catch a Glimpse, but they're going to get a rematch later this afternoon in the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup at Keeneland, and that should be a good one. You'll hear live coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern Time here on the network. We're going to visit with trainer Jimmy Toner to talk about Time in Motion coming up in just a couple of minutes here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, we are with you at Belmont Park and want to remind you that you can go see Mark and Trish Smith at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. Now, I'm giving you a personal endorsement here because I went ahead and visited MLS Power Sports a few weeks back, and I was in the market for a new ATV, a side-by-side ATV, and I was in the market for a trailer. I got both of those in the same day at MLS Power Sports, and I can tell you that they will greet you with friendly and knowledgeable people. Their staff is unbelievable. They're passionate about off-roading, whether it be for work or for play. And if you have a farm, if you have a hobby that you like to get out and just enjoy some time out on the farm on the weekends, you can go to MLS Power Sports. They are Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer as well. It's a great time to get your best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. Visit Mark and Trish Smith at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., or all the time on the web at MLSPowerSports.com. I had such a great experience. I said, you guys have to let me talk about you on my radio show, because it was that type of compelling experience that I had. And I said, hey, let me do it. Let me talk about you.
I don't blame you. If you
I highly recommend them. I really do.
Good experience, good customer service and great experiences are well worthy of that. I could not speak to that point. We don't do much ATV in here in the Big Apple. And the Big A does not ATV. These feet.
You've never been in a Arctic Cat?
No. The first half's fine. I like being in the Arctic. I like being cold. I don't know about an Arctic Cat. I have a cat. My name is Parson. That's about it. No, the ATV. What are you saying? No good comes from deviation.
Nothing good comes of deviation.
Right? I'm afraid to try.
I want
these
that on
things.
My tombstone. Actually,
I'm afraid to try these things because I have a
not I soon, have, but at some point.
Right. I have a very addictive personality, and I'm a glutton. This, you know, the gluttony is obvious here.
400 pounds of gluttony.
So, you know, if I like ATVing, I'll be ATVing all the time. If I like jet skiing, again, something else we don't really have to worry about.
All right, Jimmy Toner is coming up here in just a couple of minutes, so we don't want to make Jimmy wait. We're going to get to the second half of the program, but very quickly want to remind you, after we finish up here at 10 o'clock Eastern, you want to head over to HRRNandEspanol.com, because a couple of weeks ago we launched our new Saturday morning talk show all in Spanish. So it's a one-hour talk show from 10. Excuse me, I get choked up talking about it.
Do you need me to hit the title? Because I've been told by Roberto Rodriguez that I do a little
bit
of a
shot. Good.
Hablando de abismo.
Well done. What's it mean?
It means talking horses.
Talking racing.
Talking racing.
Talking racing. Hablando de abismo. Yeah, you can check it out, 10 o'clock Eastern, HRRNandEspanol.com. Tell all of your Spanish-speaking friends anywhere in the world they can listen to live horse racing talk every single Saturday morning, 10 to 11 at HRRNandEspanol.com. And we'll be bringing you live coverage of the Breeders' Cup World Championships Friday and Saturday, all in Spanish here on HRN. You can visit HRNandEspanol.com to learn more and follow HRRNandEspanol on Twitter. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter, too, at HRRN. Jimmy Toner is coming up next. We're back with Hour 2 right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the stakes. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter.
It is Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dance is still coming. And here she comes to the outside. Holy Bob gets under the wire. And Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
At the eight hole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina B a second, Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the Pontiff, Jude Feld, this morning. Jude will be back with you later this afternoon at 5 o'clock Eastern for our coverage of the QE2 Challenge Cup from Keeneland. You can tune in worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And Big A, it's been quite a morning so far here on the program. Had a chance to catch up with Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine Entertainment, and with Gary Falter from OwnerView in the first half of the show. And more good things to come here in the second half.
Yeah, we get to one of my favorite people on the racetrack, Jimmy Toner, and one of my favorite people, period, my Friday night tag team partner, the Pontiff, a little later on as he takes us down the road to the Breeders' Cup, which is amazingly less than 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away now. 3 weeks from now, Songbird will have won the Breeders' Cup this day.
Well, we'll see if Time and Motion can take the next step toward the Breeders' Cup, if indeed that's the path they choose to go. Well, Jimmy Toner is with us now, and he talks to us about Time and Motion and about all of his victories in the QE2, and there have been plenty. Jimmy, appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thanks for being here, and looking forward to this afternoon. And Time and Motion finally getting the better of her rival, Catch a Glimpse, last time out in the Lake Placid. She'll square off with her again this afternoon in that Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. Look back on that Lake Placid for a minute. How impressive was that win?
Well, it was impressive. It wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't, it might have been impressive, but it wasn't easy. Everything has to go right in order to be Catch a Glimpse. I mean, she's a terrific filly. I mean, she got a ton of class, and she got a lot of ones in front of her name. And in order to beat a boy, just everything has to go right. So fortunately, everything went right towards the last diamond. You got to be lucky to see if you can do it again, that's all.
Well, Time and Motion doesn't have to take a backseat to many. She's 4-for-8 lifetime. She now is a Grade 2 winner. What makes her so good, Jimmy?
Well, I think it's a competitive nature that she has. It's not when the worst thing in the world is she might tap it, which helps, and she's out of a good family. I've had some of the mares, fillies out of the Ellie's Moment, which I also had. So, and she's been able to step up to the plate. And I'm not saying that, some of the fillies I had out of that mare were nice fillies, Grade 2, Grade 3 type horses. But I think this Tappet just puts them in a different dimension. And I think that just like puts her above the other ones that I've had.
Jimmy, two back in the Belmont Oaks, Catch a Glimpse got some separation on Time and Motion and proved to be a half length better. In the Lake Placid, Johnny Velasquez, Time and Motion's rider, kept her a little closer and grabbed Catch a Glimpse a little earlier, didn't get that separation. Looks like Catch a Glimpse has the tactical advantage again today. Same kind of plan going into this race today?
Well, I think so, because, like you said, she does have the inside. She's a lone speed of the race again. And I think the only way you're going to be able to beat her is you have to be close enough to her when you turn into the lane, because when she turns into the lane, she has a knack of accelerating off that turn where she can just, when she turns into the lane, she accelerates. So everybody, normally what they do is they sit there and they wait, and when they wait to straighten away, like, oh, they're going to go after her. But the bottom line is she takes off and opens up again. She's got another gear. So you can't wait too late, and I think the key to beating her is basically try to be as close to her as you can when you turn into the lane. So you know, that's going to be the plan, I think, again, today. And then hopefully we can, you know, hopefully we can get it done.
Jimmy, if you can pull it off this afternoon, you'll join Hall of Famer John Veach with the most victories by any trainer in the QE2. John's won it three times. You're, of course, a two-time winner of the race. Talk about that Keeneland turf course. Does it compare to any other turf course that Time and Motion has been on throughout her career?
Well, it's a different turf course. But the other side of the coin is, like, this year it's playing differently. I mean, because it's been dry down here and speed's been holding on more. It used to be strictly a closer's racetrack. And you go into the turn, and then when you get into the backside, it's an uphill. They go uphill before they get into the turn. Then they come out of the turn, they straight away go uphill a bit again, like through the lane. So in that sense, it's not a level type of a turf course as far as being all the way around. But meanwhile, it's normally it's always held to closers, but this year it's been holding. It's been more conducive to front runners. So I think that'll be an issue today. I think it's also plays in, you know, catcher Gwinnett's advantage.
You got another filly or two in here you're keeping your eye on, maybe as potential upsetters besides the obvious and catch a glimpse?
Race, I've never seen a race like this. Top to bottom, you've got nine horses in a race. Combined total of wins with nine horses, 37 wins. So I've never seen anything like that. So I don't think you can eliminate anybody in this race. This is a wide-open race. I think Catch a Glimpse has got the advantage of having the inside post, having the speed and all. But there's nobody in the race that you can discount. I think Shug's filly is in good form right now. We don't know what the European filly is, how good she is. California horse did stay in Vegas. I mean, this is just a tough race, top to bottom. So I don't think you can eliminate anybody.
Talking with trainer Jimmy Toner here on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jimmy, when you think back to your other two victories in the race, you go back to 93 and Tribulation, and then you come back in 96 with one of my favorite fillies of all time. That's Memories of Silver. Both of those horses owned by John Phillips and the Phillips family. Of course, Time and Motion also owned by the Phillips Racing Partnership. Talk about that relationship you've had over the years with John and with the Phillips family.
Well, I've been very fortunate to be able to train for John for the past 25 years. And they have, well, basically, you know, the mares that he has here, it's a tremendous foundation mares that I wouldn't be able to go out and buy or have people buy the quality of horses that they have. So it's been a, you know, God sent to me to be able to train for him. I've been able to develop some nice fillies for him. And it's meant everything to me. And to work for John, he's a special person to work for. He's very understanding. He's always horse first. And he takes pride in the mares and the families and what we can do with them and how we can develop them and bringing them back to the farm. But he's the quality people, all the Phillipses, the whole family. And it's been a great association for me, and I've been very thankful for it.
Yeah, John was one of the first people I was introduced to when I moved to Kentucky almost 20 years ago. And I remember thinking immediately that, hey, this guy's a nice guy. He seems like one of the good guys in the sport. And now getting to know him over the years, I know that that was absolutely true. They do things the right way out at Darby Dan and with his entire operation. Jimmy, when I talk about Tribulation and Memories of Silver and mention those two names, what comes to mind when you think back on those afternoons at Keeneland?
Well, Tribulation actually was exciting because it was one of the first horses I trained for John, actually. And she won the Boiling Springs at the Meadowlands. It's a big, big, rough, tough kind of – she was a dancing filly. And she won the Boiling Springs, and then I got invited to the Queen Elizabeth. Then I ran it back in Maryland, and she got beat. She got sick or something. After the race, she scoped bad. She got sick. And I called up. I think Howard was here then. I said, can I still come to the Queen Elizabeth? I just got beat. He said, don't worry, just show up, you know. So, and it was one of those days, and it was a typical, not a typical. It was a fall day here at Keeneland, and the track was so bad. The main track was so sloppy and everything. And had it not been that the Queen Elizabeth on the grass naturally, I doubt if they would have run any races on the grass. But I have a picture of her winning. Jean-Luc Samin rode her. And the hedge had snow on the top. and not she won that pay $45 a day. So that was an exciting day. That was an exciting day for the first, you know, my first Queen Elizabeth, so to say. So that was exciting. And then Jimmy, memories was, yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
The Memories of Silver was another exciting day because I had planned on running her in the Garden City. And when she breathed and we scoped her and she had some mucus in her throat, so we decided to pass on the Garden City, which in a way worked out as a benefit to us. So we came down here when she was fresh when she got here, and they broke the track record that day, the Queen Elizabeth record that day, and it still stands. And that was an exciting race that day also for Memories of Silver, which she turned into be a fabulous horse. I had a great brood mare on Tyler, but Tyler did.
So, you know, we joke around. We talk about how Mike Smith is a bit of a ladies' man with all the champions he's trained, but Tribulation, Memories of Silver, Soaring Softly, Winter Memories, and one of my favorites, one of the gamest fillies I've ever seen, Wonder Again. She didn't know how to lose. Talk a little bit about how you have this knack of developing these top-notch turf fillies.
I wish I knew. I don't know what it is. Evidently, there must be something. No, I just try to go along with each one as an individual, such and treat them all with kid gloves and bring them along at their own, you know, course. But then again, you get back to where these mares, the breeding of these mares has been tremendous. I mean, it's just such an influence that it helps to have horses that can run. I think the old adage of, you know, you can make a bad horse out of a good horse, but you can't make a good one out of a bad one. So I've been fortunate enough to be able to be around, you know, these type of fillies, the foundations that they've had, and they've given me, you know, they've repaid me for my work and what we put into them. So like I said, I'm very fortunate that way.
Well, not only is John Phillips one of the true good guys in the sport of thoroughbred racing, Jimmy Toner is as well. And Jimmy, want to wish you all the best with Time and Motion this afternoon and with all the horses in your care. Good luck moving forward, my friend, and we'll look for you in the winner's circle.
Mike, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Good talking to you today. Thank you very much.
All right, Jimmy Toner here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. I love visiting with Jimmy Toner.
He's the best. He's the best. Wonder Again is always the one that gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
When you think about all the great turf fillies he's trained. And, you know, just horses in general that he's trained. I made one of the biggest scores of my life on a day like this. I guess back then it was the Garden City. And she got up. You want to talk about a racehorse. And I love these horses that refuse to lose. She never should have won the race. I mean, she was beat a half a dozen times. And Edgar Prado just said, not today. And that filly said, not today. And I made a nice little score on her and had nothing. You know, if you're a fan, the money's just a way of keeping score. You like being right, and you like seeing great performances. You know, I didn't have a huge dog in the fight, but watching Syndergaard and Practical Joke throw down last week right in front of my face, you remember those. You're going to remember those races. You take those races where, you know, Syndergaard may have run the best race I've ever seen in defeat. You remember those races stick with you.
Right.
And those horses that refuse to lose, whether they win or lose that day, they're the ones that you remember. So she's the one I think that gets lost in the shuffle. Jimmy's trained so many good turf fillies, and Time and Motion is just carrying on that tradition.
Yeah, we'll see if she can take the next step toward being in the discussion with names like Memories of Silver and Wonder Again. And if she can win the QE2 today again, Jimmy Toner will earn his third victory, tying John Veitch in that category. And that coverage coming up this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern on the network. Post time for the QE2, 5:30 Eastern time. Make sure that you're tuned in at horseracingradio.net. All right, time now for our Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, a bit of a sad headline to pass along to you this morning. Quiet American euthanized at age 30. Quiet American, whose champion son Real Quiet won the 1998 Kentucky Derby and Preakness Stakes, has indeed been euthanized. Pensioned from stud duties in 2013 at Darley's Johnabel Farm near Lexington, the son of Fappiano was out of the winning Dr. Fager mare Demure and raced in the colors of Sheikh Mohammed. To achieve what he did as a racehorse and as a stallion and then be able to live a long and happy life is really what one hopes for any horse, said Godolphin America's chief operating officer Dan Pride. He went on to say his legacy will certainly live on through his sons and daughters. He was such a favorite of ours, as well as fans in general. We're all going to miss him. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't forget that you can catch more industry news by going to bloodhorse.com, the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you're not reading Blood Horse, well, don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. All right, coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about the Grade 3 Futurity, which is going to be contested later today here at Belmont Park. And still to come, the pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, takes us down the road to the Breeders' Cup as we handicap both the QE2 and the Pattison Canadian International, which comes up tomorrow. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, the seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic-producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julian Le Paru. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dre Fong.
Closing on the outside in Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits, Dre Fong rolls home and the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classics on Saturday, October 8th. 9 races worth more than $1.1 million, headlined by the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders' Classic. Don't miss out on the excitement of the premier night of West Virginia bred racing, as the best horses the Mountain State has to offer will take center stage. First post time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classics, right here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Mark your calendar for the inaugural Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs. Part of Churchill's Stars of Tomorrow program, the $300,000 Spendthrift Stallion Stakes will be contested at 7 furlongs on the main track and is exclusive to any Spendthrift sired two-year-old anywhere in North America, with half of the purse being distributed to the owners of the placed horses and the other half given to the breeders of the first through fourth place finishers. Don't miss the inaugural running of the Spendthrift Stallion Stakes, October 30th at Churchill Downs.
Racing fans, the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita are now less than 3 weeks away, and with the undefeated superstar filly Songbird set to take on fellow Eclipse Award winners Beholder and Stellar Wind in the $2 million distaff, this year's Breeders' Cup Day 1 could be the best in Breeders' Cup history. Go to BreedersCup.com and make your reservations now. Our main event this Saturday is the $100,000 California distaff, and don't forget, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Slip the Cable goes coast to coast in the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders' Classic, winning by 7 on the wire.
Slip the Cable gave his rivals the slip as he rolled to an impressive 7.5 length victory in the West Virginia Breeders' Classic at Charlestown this past Saturday. That easy victory by the son of Darley stallion Midshipman is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse champion two-year-old and the fastest winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, while defeating the future Kentucky Derby 1-2 finishers.
In 2016, Midshipman's percentage of black type winners from starters can only be topped by Warfront and Uncle Mo. Midshipman is the sire of 12 black type winners so far, including 11-time stakes winner and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint runner-up, Lady Shipman. No Kentucky Stallion, standing for less than $75,000, can top his percentage of black type horses from starters. All aboard Darley Stallion Midshipman. To learn more about Midshipman and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Today broke very sharp and was in old business, so he ran big race. I was almost surprised to be where I was, you know, but he did it easy and, you know, was very happy where he was. And he got a little bit tired, but he hasn't run for a while, so we expected that, but he ran a big race.
This is a very, very talented horse. The day after the hopeful, we got to work on him. We put blinkers on him. We breezed him out of the gate several times, and it paid dividends today.
Mike Penna, Anthony Stabile, back with you on the Equine Forum on HRRN. The voices you just heard were jockey Julian Leperoux and trainer Norm Cassie talking about their Breeders' Futurity winner, Classic Empire. He, of course, won that Claiborne Breeders' Futurity last week at Keeneland, and that was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Classic Empire on his way to the Breeders' Cup World Championships and that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and he looks like one of the horses to beat in that spot come early November.
Ed DeRosa made the biggest win bet of his life on Classic Empire.
I know he did.
Talked about it on the call-in show, and he was as pumped up. I thought he was crazy because, that to me, it looked like a contentious field, but he was right.
Well, the reason I play that clip is because we're going to be talking about two-year-olds in this segment, because we do have the Belmont Futurity coming up this afternoon. That's going to go as race number three. That's right, race number three on the program. Post time is 2:01 Eastern. 6 furlongs on this big sandy course, and Big A, a short field of only 5, and that's why we see it as race number three. But it's a quality field. There are some really good-looking two-year-olds in here.
Yeah, you got an interesting bunch in here. Theory, of course, wowed everybody at Saratoga. You remember he got in off the AE list on July 30th and ran that proverbial hole in the wind from post 10.
Yeah.
Missed a little time. They had talked about putting him away for the year and bringing him back as either late in the season or early next year down at Gulfstream, which is what Todd Fletcher usually does. But he's back in here now in the Futurity. And, you know, I'd be curious to see how this race sets up with moves like Ali on the rail and Theory right next door. I'm wondering if they hook early or if one acquiesces to the other. It's like you said, it's only 5, but it's a fun bunch to watch in here.
You have the privilege of hosting Express Bet Radio from this very same location every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon. People can tune into Express Bet Radio from 3 to 6 Eastern Time. And they can do that on Sirius 219, XM 206, and on our website at horseracingradio.net. Again, that's 3 to 6 Eastern every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And the reason I throw that plug in there is because yesterday you had a chance to visit with a couple of the connections involved with the Futurity later today at Belmont. And one of those was Jeremiah Engelhart, who spent some time talking about moves like Ali and looking back on his maiden win September 4th at Saratoga.
Going into his first race, I knew he was a colt that had a lot of talent. I was a little curious on how fit and tight he was to win, you know, first time out. But he kind of surprised me a little bit. You know, coming out of that race, he's actually gotten, to me, better. You know, he's training more aggressive. His works, you know, coming into this race have been very sharp, and just seems like a horse that's gotten better from the time he ran in Saratoga. So I think he's going to make it a pretty interesting race. I got a lot of confidence in him.
Well, Anthony, obviously they feel as if moves like Ali is improving, even though he's only had the one career start. It sounds, when you listen to Jeremiah talk, one of the bright young trainers in the game today, that this is a horse that's moving forward.
Yeah. He comes into Saratoga with this borderline obscure pedigree. He's an Ohio bred. He was 10 or 12 to 1 on the morning line, and then he just pops off and runs a gigantic race first out. So you see Luch racing in the ownership line. Ron Pellucci likes to bet his money at the window, so I'm sure a lot of that was Ron's money firing through there. But it proved to be the right money that day. Another one wasn't really pointing for this race.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because you asked him that yesterday. Being an Ohio bred, you asked him if this race, the Futurity, was the race that was always on the radar after that maiden win at Saratoga. And here's what Jeremiah had to say in response to that question.
The race that Ron and I were targeting was the October 29th race, the Best of Ohio at Mahoning. And that's why we don't have IRAD, because, you know, I was never really planning on the Futurity. And he was working so good, and I just kind of think that, he's a sprinter right now. I mean, I know we're going to try stretching him out here maybe after this race. But I called Ron, and surprisingly, he was like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, okay. So my plans kind of changed just last week, and Steve had already gave a call out to Asmussen, and so I couldn't get IRADs. So, but I got, Luis is riding very hot right now. Hopefully that won't matter.
Yeah, Luis Saez filling in for Irad Ortiz Jr., and you heard Jeremiah spell out the reasons why. That's one thing that when people pick up the program, a lot of times they'll see, oh, hey, Irad's off of this horse. He's riding another horse. He must like the other horse better. As you can tell from listening to Jeremiah talk, that wasn't the case in this situation.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's a little befuddling. That Best of Ohio race that they were targeting at the end of October, I think it's October 29th, right before the Breeders' Cup, that race is worth $300,000, I believe. Futurity graded only worth $200,000. I think it ties, Mike, into them talking about stretching this horse out at some point. The Futurity into the Nashua, which is a race that was won by Mohamed last year when Mohamed was top of the class 2-year-old. That's a flat mile, but that comes back really quick. It comes back in right around 3 weeks. I believe it's opening day or opening Saturday at Aqueduct, which makes it Breeders' Cup Friday or Saturday, which means it's 3 weeks away. So I can't imagine they're going to wheel a young horse like this back quickly. Maybe they do. I don't know. I think that would be the natural progression to stretch out if you're looking to go a mile and get this horse into some of the preps for, dare I say, Derby season. But I like Luis Saez on this horse. Luis is a very good aggressive rider, and he's great at reading the PPs. He's always in the right place at the right time. And I don't know if he has to do much of that today. He's drawn the rail and just a field of five. I would assume he's just going to pop off and try and get in front of these again. Which is interesting with theory in this race. And if they hit up, maybe it sets up for a horse like the Walk.
Yeah, you never know. The Walk is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of the morning line, because moves like Ali is 2-1 from the rail. Theory, 7-5 is your favorite from post number 2. And then we come to post number 3, and the Walk, who is the longest shot in the 5-horse field at odds of 12-1 on the morning line, owned, of course, by our good friends Terry Finley and West Point Thoroughbreds. And yesterday, Tom Bellhouse of West Point took the time to visit with the Big A on Express Bet Radio, and here's what he had to say about the Walk.
The Walk is a horse that a Hanson colt that we bought at the Fasig Tipton sale. Hanson was a horse that, most of us who are familiar with New York racing remember, won the Wood Memorial.
Gotham,
and came back and was, was really a top-flight 3-year-old son of Tappet. So when his babies came out, we were especially interested in them at the first Fasig sale at Saratoga last year. We got this colt. He was by far like the leader in the clubhouse in the early training, and then he kind of plateaued a little bit, and really, almost things came a little too easy to him early. As he got to like March and April, when you thought you wanted him to really get serious, he really just really almost was too advanced, and we had to geld him. I mean, he was just really becoming a handful and not focusing at all. We moved forward with him when he got up to Tom Albatroni. He's the kind of horse that we're excited about, because I think there's a ton of upside available to us. I will say that, you know, his first debut race, which in my opinion was probably the best 2-year-old race of the Saratoga meet. I mean, it's half this field.
It's 3/4, right? It's 2/3 of the field.
And you know, Theory was no secret. Actually, if you remember, Theory was on the AE list that day. A horse scratched, he got in. Reckling ran a phenomenal race to come in second, then came back and beat Motown. And you know, Motown, we saw what he did. So you know, it doesn't always work out. The good guy horse beat the good horse, who beat the good horse, and they all come back. But in this particular case, they have. And so for us to, you know, to win our last race with coming off the pace a little bit, we're hoping that you know, with Theory and Reckling and the McLean's Music baby of Jeremiah Engelhart's Moves Like Ali, there's going to be some hitting. And as long as the track was pretty, we felt speed favoring last week. Well, it was holding. I wouldn't say it was favoring. It was definitely holding.
Probably the best way to put it.
Right. And then watching those horses just go 108 a little while ago, and no one really super duper closing. We're a little concerned that those horses can get out front and not stop. But I like our chances. Our horse has always been a little tough. Manny Franco rode him in his debut. He left the paddock. He dumped Manny in the post parade. He dumped Manny behind the gate. I thought Manny rode a great race in that race. And, I mean, he's the kind of horse that, as Tom Albertrani would say, you get him somewhere, you have to have him do it 2, 3, 4 times. And he was behaving at Belmont. Then he got to Saratoga, so I'm brand new. And sure enough, we run on July 30th, which is like really the end of the first week of the meet. And
Jim Dandy Day.
Right. And so now all
the crowd right on top of you.
Yeah. I mean, so now he's losing his mind. You know, we schooled him every single day, but, you know, you can't school him enough. And he got a little crazy. So then we come back at Belmont, and he misbehaved in the, you know, unfortunately for us, we had Kendrick on. And as Dallas Stewart put it, Kendrick's the perfect jock because he might just be as crazy as the horse. And we've had a lot of luck with Kendrick, and as we have with Manny. I mean, no knock against Manny. It was just that horse was an absolute handful. And, you know, with a 2-year-old and you're up against some of the best horses, the 2-year-olds in the you know, the region, it was a tough ride for him. But we came back, and Kendrick really, you know, he tried to pull some of his shenanigans. Kendrick just, you know, let him be and was able to get the victory. And I think you'll see us try to sit off the pace a little. We're hoping for some hitting. But this is, in my opinion, this is hopefully just another stepping stone race with this horse that, you know, a son of Hanson, you know, with a Boston Harbor mare. You'd like to think that as the fall and going into Gulfstream Park in the wintertime with Tom Albertrani, that this is the kind of horse that can make some noise as we go forward.
If you think this game is easy, just listen to Tom Bellhouse tell the story of the walk and everything that they have gone through with this horse and getting him to this point in the Grade 3 Futurity this afternoon. Boy, he sounds like he's a handful, but he's one of those horses that is, Big A, ultra talented, and if he puts it all together, look out.
He kept coming last time when he won his maiden, and I love when 2-year-olds do that, when they come and grab horses and they go by him. You can literally draw a line through his debut. And when you think about everything that happened, Theory wins off by 5.5, Reckling second by 4. So this horse, with all that trouble, gets beat just 2 lengths for third that day behind a horse who the sky's the limit and another horse who came back to break his maiden at second asking. So, you know, if they hit in here, and there's no reason why, you know, I personally think Moves Like Ali's going to get loose. But I don't have to be right. If Theory presses, if Reckling presses, you know, there's 2 pressers in here, and they hit up, there's no reason the walk can't come running in here. And keep in mind, Mike, he's already won going 6.5 furlongs, so this is a little bit of a cutback for him going 3/4.
Well, talking 2-year-olds will give you that Derby fever. And in case you're wondering, just 203 days, 8 hours, 56 minutes, and 5 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, May 6th, 2017. Beneath the Twin Spires.
I was ready for one countdown this morning to the Breeders' Cup. I was not prepared for a second one, but I should know better. I should know better. This is what happens when people come into my studio here at Belmont Park.
Well, speaking, yeah, and by the way, thanks for the headsets here today. If you see me leaning to the left a little bit, it's because I can only hear out of my left ear, so I'm kind of
You guys are,
What is this? I have to get you some better equipment.
You guys are all coddled and everything. This is what I mean. This is the difference between New York.
I mean, this
New
is
Kentucky.
How I used to work. When I was doing the show like 10 years ago, this is what I went through, all this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm at a different level now, man. I can't be dealing with this kind of equipment.
This is the difference between New York guys and Kentucky guys. A Kentucky guy would have a chinchilla corner him and wouldn't know what to do. I come walking out of there with a fur coat. That's the difference.
You gave me those. You told me to go to King Umberto's last night, and then I get those tater tot things, which were
Stop.
Awful.
Listen, seriously. All kidding aside, the window's open up here. Stop talking about the panic croquettes negatively. Here, in front of me, from King Umberto's, they are little balls of perfection. If I could make little balls of the Big A, they would be the potato croquettes from King Umberto's.
I'm not touching that next line. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back, take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup. That's all presented by Gainsway. We'll be joined by the pontiff of the Pick Four himself, Jude Feld. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Racing fans, the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita are now less than 3 weeks away, and with the undefeated superstar filly Songbird set to take on fellow Eclipse Award winners Beholder and Stellar Wind in the $2 million distaff, this year's Breeders' Cup Day 1 could be the best in Breeders' Cup history. Go to BreedersCup.com and make your reservations now. Our main event this Saturday is the $100,000 California distaff, and don't forget, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four and $100,000 in the pick six. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. Divisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world-class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards.
Kitten's Joy, a world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Theory runs for the lead on the outside. Theory takes over at the top of the stretch. Reckling tries to put in a run on the outside. These two come by the eighth pole, two lengths apart. Theory and Reckling now 1-2. Pale of Silence is third and giving way on the inside. The walk is moving up, and then comes Caramani, but it is Theory. And Theory and John Velasquez come home strong to a 5.5-length winning debut. And then it was Reckling second, followed by Caramani, and then came Hemsworth.
Larry Colmus bringing them home at Saratoga, and the maiden victory for Theory, the son of Windstar Stallion Gemologist, and an impressive win that day. He's 7-5 in this afternoon's Grade 3 Futurity at Belmont Park. Mike Penna and Anthony Stabile, that's the Baron and the Big A. We're going to be joined by the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, in just a couple of minutes to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. And Jude Feld will be back this afternoon at 5 o'clock Eastern with coverage of the QE2 Challenge Cup along with Ellis Starr. They'll bring you that coverage from Keeneland. 5 o'clock Eastern, horseracingradio.net. The QE2 is set to go at 5:30 Eastern. And speaking of big races this weekend, well, tomorrow you can watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International. That's live from Woodbine Racetrack as the best horses from around the globe compete for a purse of $1 million on the world-renowned E.P. Taylor Turf Course. Woodbine will be offering large guarantees of $150,000 on the early pick four and $250,000 on the late pick four. Plus, you can take advantage of 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, pick three, and pick four pools that afternoon. And while you're there, why not give the jackpot high five a go? It's a wager offering huge potential for big pool payouts and a mandatory payout following the last race of the day. Watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International. That's Sunday, October 16th, tomorrow afternoon, post time 1 p.m. For more information, simply visit woodbineracetrack.com.
Yeah, 20-cent pick threes, pick fours, I'm all over that, especially with that card tomorrow.
It's going to be a good one.
They have a Melbourne Cup one there, if I haven't told you that already.
You did. You told me you love King Umberto's, too. They're getting a lot of publicity on this program.
You're lucky there's only
and for a place that has tater tots like that, I don't know if we should be giving them that kind of publicity.
I think we have Jude Feld, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, on the line.
Well, we do. He's going to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup. We're going to take a look at some of the big races, including the QE2 and the Canadian International. Before we get to that, though, let's remind you, since we're talking about Breeders' Cup, that the Breeders' Cup World Championships will run right here on HRRN for the 10th consecutive year. That's right, November 4th and 5th. We'll be there at Santa Anita to bring you that live coverage. Make sure that you are in the saddle with our award-winning broadcast team. We begin November 1st. That's a Tuesday before the Breeders' Cup. We'll come to you live from Santa Anita with more than 15 hours of exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage. It all starts that Tuesday morning with the first of three Breeders' Cup countdown shows from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And we'll wrap it all up Friday and Saturday, November 4th and 5th, with our exclusive coverage of every Breeders' Cup race presented by VisitBarbados.org. Head over to horseracingradio.net right now for a complete
passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
Pretty City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet, a two-time champion sire and once again number one in 2016, more than $5 million clear on the general sire list.
Tappet added to his lofty totals with two new Grade 1 winners in the spinaway at Saratoga as his daughters, Sweet Loretta and Pretty City Dancer, dead-heated for the Grade 1 victory. And Tappet's son, Tapazar, now has a first crop stakes winner as Tip Tap Tapazar closed impressively to take Monmouth's Sapling Stakes. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tapazar retired sound and is represented by eight individual first crop two-year-old winners to date. Tappet and Tapazar standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Well, just 20 days, 4 hours, 36 minutes, and 44 seconds away from the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. That's November 4th and 5th. And time now to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup, all presented by Gainesway. And to do that, we are joined by the pontiff of the Pick Four, that is Pope Jude Feld. JT, what's up, my man?
Everything's cool. Looking forward to the QE2 today. It's a fantastic race, as usual.
Yeah, it should be a really, really good race, competitive race, and that great rematch between Catch a Glimpse and Time and Motion, who, of course, Time and Motion getting the better of Catch a Glimpse last time out in the Lake Placid at Saratoga. Are those the two, or might there be somebody else we should keep an eye on?
Well, I'm kind of fancying On Leave, Shug McGahey's filly by Warfront. She's won four races in a row. She's very versatile. She's also 5-1 on the line, which is an attractive price. Catch a Glimpse, of course, a Keeneland favorite, undefeated over the course 2-for-2. She's going to get a lot of action, and as is the filly that vanquished her last time and ended her big winning streak, Time and Motion. They're both going to get a lot of play. So if they're going to leave Shug's filly alone, I'm going to go there at 5-1.
You worried about Catch a Glimpse getting loose on a lead in here, Jude? You know, we talked to Jimmy Toner earlier. He said Johnny's going to, you know, not really let her get out of his scope too much. But I just don't see anybody in here with the natural speed to go with Catch a Glimpse.
Yeah, well, even when horses run with Catch a Glimpse, she puts them away. I mean, she's got so much talent. She's just an outstanding filly. And, you know, it was a bit of a surprise for her to get beat last time, but we all know any horse can get beat. I mean, we've seen Zenyatta do it. We've seen Cigar do it. So, you know, I think Catch a Glimpse is a very solid filly in this race. She's a huge play. I mean, nobody's going to be surprised if she goes wire to wire, but she can also sit. So if somebody wants to do something silly, then, you know, she might get a perfect trip. Who knows? But the speed's been sticking on the Keeneland course a lot better than usual for whatever reason. And I think she's a formidable foe. I just think you got to, you know, she's probably going to be, what, 7-5, 8-5, something like that. And, you know, if you can get 5-1 on a filly that's an up-and-comer, that now's the time to get it, because if she beats Catch a Glimpse, then she's not going to be 5-1 anymore.
You know, one of the interesting horses, Jude, in my opinion anyways, is number 4, Harmonize, for Hall of Famer Bill Mott under Junior Alvarado. Here's a horse that's 1-for-2 at Keeneland, took the Grade 3 Jessamine last year before finishing 7th in the Juvenile Fillies Turf behind Catch a Glimpse, comes out of that huge win in the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. Where do you see Harmonize fitting into the picture, or do you?
Well, I mean, she's another one. I mean, that's what makes the QE2 so tough and such a highly coveted race to win. There's always, you know, an awesome field because it's an invitational, and the best fillies in the world get invited. Not all of them show up, but, you know, Harmonize is a very good filly. She won the Del Mar Oaks, you know, at 3.5-1, and that's not an easy race to win. Fillies come from all over to run in that race, so you have to respect her. She's a Grade 1 winner in a Grade 1 race, and certainly has a shot to win. Bill Mott, you know, he's won this race before, so he knows how to get one ready for this race and lots of other races too. So, you know, I couldn't really knock her. Another interesting horse is Hawksmore, the horse coming from Europe. Hugo Palmer tweeted out this morning that he had a really strong hand today, including this filly, and so, you know, he obviously likes her. He didn't send her here for her health. He sent her here to win, so she's probably got some kind of a look at the race. She had a 106 Racing Post rating, which is solid, and you know, I think there's several ways to go in here. It's not as cut and dried as a lot of people may think.
Well, the QE2 comes up at 5:30 Eastern this afternoon at Keeneland. You will be there along with Ellis Starr to provide that coverage beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, that coverage available worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Let's flip the calendar to tomorrow afternoon. And in the first half of the program, we talked with Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson, and we talked about that Pattison Canadian International, which is another gangbuster renewal coming up tomorrow afternoon. A field of nine set to go on that E.P. Taylor turf course. How'd you see that race?
Well, you know, it's a very strong event. I put number five on top, Dartmouth, owned by Her Majesty the Queen, and you know, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Her Majesty. It's not like we're tight or anything, but I love the fact that she's in racing like her mom. I was a big fan of the Queen Mom, as she's affectionately known, probably the world's greatest horse racing fan ever. And Dartmouth is a very nice horse, trained by Sir Michael Stout, who is from Barbados. So there's lots of connections for me to like Dartmouth. But all that aside, he's a very, very good horse. He has a 121 racing post rating. He has the second highest marathon figure on my marathon figure collection. The Pizza Man is 2 points ahead of him, and the Pizza Man got part of that from winning a grade one last time out. So Dartmouth, I think, is very, very solid in this race. He's going to be a decent price. William Buick, an outstanding jockey. And I think it's him and the Pizza Man. The Pizza Man came back to form last time. I loved him last time, but I picked against him in here and went with Dartmouth.
Hey, Jude, do you know there's a Melbourne Cup winner in the race today, tomorrow?
Yeah.
You did know or you didn't know?
No, I didn't know. Who's the Melbourne Cup winner?
Protectionist won the 2014 Melbourne Cup.
Oh, well, that's a lot longer than this race.
Yes, it is. A half mile longer, to be exact. Hey, what do you think about the rider change on Wake Forest in here? Got into a little, I don't want to say trouble, but I don't know. I think with Javier Castellano climbing aboard, I think you got to give this one a long look in here. This horse has knocked on the door several times. He got his grade one in the Man of War, but he's one that I'm keeping a real eye on in here in this Pattison.
Yeah, I know you fancy him, but, I mean, if I wanted to keep a horse out of trouble, I don't think Javier Castellano would be the first guy I'd go to. you know, all you have to do is watch Flincher a couple times and that'll shake you up. I don't know. I mean, I think Jose Ortiz is as good a turf rider as there is. He rode him fine last time. I don't know. You know, I know Jose's got other fish to fry in other locales. So, I mean, Javier's fine choice, I guess. But, I mean, it wouldn't be enough for me to, like, hop on the bandwagon.
Well, post time for the Canadian International tomorrow at Woodbine, 5:40 Eastern time. Make sure that you are locked into that race. Should be a really great day of racing north of the border. JT, just a couple of minutes left. Anybody else in the world of racing anywhere in the country that we should keep an eye on later today?
Today, yeah, you got me switching all over the place here with past performances.
Come on, kid, keep up.
Well, I thought you were going to ask me about something tomorrow. Woodbine at Belmont Park. We got the Pebbles today, and that's a really good race. It's a kind of a consolation for the QE2. It's for the 3-year-old fillies that didn't get invited or maybe aren't good enough. I think that's a really good race, and there's another several fillies that can win. I picked the 4 Ancient Secret. I think she's going to rebound. She had a kind of off trip there at Woodbine. She's back in the States. She's running at Belmont Park, where she's won a couple of races. And it's been my experience that horses that run well on the Belmont turf course continue to run. She's actually won 3 races at Belmont. So I think she rebounds today, and we might get a little better price on her since she got crushed at Woodbine.
Well, in case you're wondering, JT, we are now only 20 days, 4 hours, 27 minutes, and 16 seconds away from the Breeders' Cup. So we're a little bit closer than when you first joined us here for this segment.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm already beginning my packing for the long trip. So.
the only countdown we haven't had today is the doomsday clock on this show.
Well, we all know we're day-to-day on that one, so... They can put all the clocks out they want, but everybody's got their own personal doomsday.
Well, Pontiff, appreciate it, my friend. Have fun with the coverage of Keeneland this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time, horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Good luck today, guys.
All right. JT, Pontiff of the Pick 4, he'll be back in the saddle with me on this program next week. And, of course, if people want to hear more from you and Jude with all your selections, they can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, check out the ExpressBet Weekend Stakes Preview, which is posted there right now, horseracingradio.net.
10 stakes in all, 4 today, 6 tomorrow, including all 4 graded stakes from Woodbine. That is a action-packed card tomorrow afternoon.
Been fun sitting in with the Big A here this morning, my friend. Thanks for taking the time to be with me.
Oh, and you know what, Mike? The pleasure was all yours. Anytime you want to come to my humble abode here at beautiful Belmont Park, you are more than welcome. And the one and only, the boss, Michelle Penna, more than welcome.
Our thanks to all of our special guests for joining us this morning. Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine, Gary Falter from OwnerView, trainer Jimmy Toner, and, of course, the Pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, and Jeremiah Englehart and Tom Bellhouse for taking the time to visit with the Big A yesterday on Express Bet Radio. Don't forget, you missed any portion of the show, head to horseracingradio.net and check out the podcast. And don't forget, Hablando de Ibismo, kicking off at 10 o'clock Eastern at hrnandespanol.com. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Big A, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time. And, hey, why not go Steelers?